from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host I'm Scott Jones and David Von Strong, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. And now here's Leslie and David.
It is Sunday. It is March 19th. It is not as cold as it was last week. And this is Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, your show about local art. It is I, David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One. And with me, as always, is the luscious, the lovely, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones. Ow!
Wow, I don't even know what to do with that introduction. I feel like I'm going to let people down now. I know. Wait, I feel like I should take off some clothes after that.
No. Now, coming to the stage. No, you can.
Naked women frighten you, David?
No,
is that what's going on?
Naked women do not frighten me.
Okay.
FCC violations frighten me.
So you're saying just me being naked frightens you?
No. You can get naked all you want.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Like, we've been in a dressing room, like, more than once.
That's true.
We
have seen just about everything, haven't we?
It is what it is.
Yeah, theater people.
This is about art, people. The human body is in itself a work of art.
Yes,
and it must be celebrated with the people that you appreciate. No Trump watch today. We all know he's evil. I'm going to keep it light.
Seriously, can I just say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before I left the house today, I saw one of his like spin masters on the news saying that the recent cuts to Meals on Wheels, they only did 3%. That's
I actually only heard 4%, actually.
So basically that qualifies out to how many people are not going to get fed by this program.
That's
now?
The same.
Like,
that's
3% is still 3%.
That's
idiot. Like, what the hell?
That's exactly the same person as the All Lives Matter person.
Yes,
it's like, well,
yes.
To be fair, you gotta think, like, dude, really? Let's not do this.
Ew.
But I just want to make a personal apology to the people in my life. I've been canceling a lot of things, arrangements.
You've been bat friend lately?
Well, what happens is that I overbook myself on things, and also I work overnight, so I'm grasping for sleep in the daytime like feathers in the wind, like every day, just trying to get like decent sleep, so I'm not a complete a-hole to people when I see them in the daytime when normal people function. So it's always been this like battle for consistency and just being able to like be with the people I appreciate. So to those who I've canceled on in the past few days, I am sorry. I've been busy with two plays. I've been working overnight. I've been, you know, burning midnight oil and whatever. Excuses, I know. But I just want to say that. I just want to give a shout out to all the people I've disappointed this week.
David, show.
Right. Yeah. The show, David.
Right.
We have like guests.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have like three guests this
do
morning.
I not? Do we not? Do we not get 5 minutes of banter? Do we not get 5 minutes of banter? No, I'm talking.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
You know what?
To my executive.
I'm sorry. Just saying, maybe you shouldn't wear paisley.
Never mind.
You get kind of like uppity when you wear paisley. I don't know what it is. I'm thinking there's a correlation.
Oh,
there.
It's Bash David Day here. It's one of those days. So without further ado, I'll just cut to my guests since I'm not important.
Oh, wait a minute. Your guests? They're not our guests? What is that?
We're just watching.
Hi!
Look, this is fascinating.
Isn't it, though? This is what goes down every week at Homegrown. I try to say something, compassionate and beautiful to the people of Charlottesville.
And I stomp on him.
And people, denigrate me and diminish my
manhood, whatever.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm used to it. David Strawn, human punching bag. Hashtag evil.
But you know what, David? In my own defense, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't even talk to you.
That's true.
You know, like there is that. Like I kid because I love. Like and I know you're a real man. You can take it. You can take it. It's all right.
So in the studio, we have the director of the wonderful sold out show Chicago playing at Four
sold
County Players.
Out? That is so
Mr.
awesome, you guys.
Edward Warwick White is in the hizzy along with Liz Howard, who is in the show. Say hi, guys, to the lovely people on Homegrown.
Good morning.
There's a camera right here.
Okay, so I saw the show opening night.
You did.
And it was awesome.
Thank you.
You guys did some really interesting things with this production.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Chicago is about, well, Edward, tell us what the plot is of Chicago.
I was hoping you'd tell me. I haven't figured it out yet.
See, they was yelling at me because I didn't know the whole thing through and through, and I was just like, yo, I need to look it up on Wikipedia.
Oh my God.
I took a trip to Chicago. I didn't learn anything. I don't know.
But nice research, though.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was good. Really windy. No, so Chicago is based on real-life murder and trials, well, inspired by, from the 1920s.
So it's a comedy.
Yep, it's a comedy. Actually, it's pretty funny.
It is. It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, so it is, follows the story of Roxy Hart, who is on trial being accused for the murder of her lover, a married woman. She gets to prison, the Cook County Jail, where she meets Liz as the matron and all the other sort of inmates, and she meets her idol, Velma Kelly, who is a famed double murderess and nightclub singer who is also on trial for murder. And it sort of follows their stories as they both vie for the spotlight. They share the same attorney, who's a very greedy and lustful man, and it kind of follows their journey. There you go.
When you say lawyer and greedy and lustful man, isn't that redundant?
Like, yeah, isn't that? Try to picture it.
Lee Susan you're talking about. Leave him alone. He's a sweet man.
He is. That's kind of irony right there.
So when you take on the longest running American musical in Broadway history, that have been through multiple renditions all over the nation. What is your approach to doing a show that is so familiar and so endeared in the hearts of, you know, the people that, you know it? What do you do that, you know, makes it a little bit different than what other people have seen and maybe heard about the show?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one of those, you know, exciting and scary things because the stakes are very high. It's a show that a lot of folks had wanted to do for a while. The rights are pretty restricted.
Yeah, everybody knows the songs.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
even people last night were saying, I didn't realize that song was from the show. Like, I knew all those songs. And we haven't done it at Four County since 82, and I was born in 83, so there you go. And so my thing was to kind of push back against what folks can currently see. Like, literally, Chicago's coming to the Kennedy Center, like, in a couple of weeks.
Right.
With Brandy playing Roxy, which is exciting. And so I was like, you know, you can go New York anytime. You can go most convocation centers and see everybody, all the kind of glamazons in black fishnets doing their thing. So I wanted to sort of fight against that a little bit. And kind of find the heart of the 1920s feel in the show, as well as the feel. It's a musical vaudeville. So really to kind of give that thought of what is a vaudeville, what does that mean to have all these songs represent different types of performance, from clowns to magicians to showgirls to burlesque to, you know, all those kind of different things that go into the show.
Oh, burlesque is well represented.
Yes, there you go. I know.
I heard boobs and bulges. That was one.
Did you see Ray's?
That was one. That was one comment of it.
There you go.
No, seriously.
A lot of armadillos at the Chicago.
It's a sexy little show.
When Lee comes out.
For all you ladies out there. Like, and men.
No, seriously, when Lee comes out and he just starts stripping, I'm like, seriously, is he going off? He's going, okay, oh, he's all going right. All the, wow, looky all there. Right.
Where's the slide whistle?
Right? I was like,
there it goes.
So, speaking of decisions that you made about the show, I know that Clinton and Leslie and I are in a show called Fences.
Yeah.
Very few people know about it. And, you know, a show that's already, like, out on film by, like, probably two of the greatest American actors in history. It has a certain expectation, and it has so what I'm doing personally is I kind of like try to like block everything Fences wise that's already been produced and try to create my own version of the script. Did you find yourself like blocking off all things Chicago and trying to like, you know, create your own like production without the influence of other productions that have gone down?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've actually never seen the current long-running Broadway production.
Okay.
I wasn't alive for the first one, the original Cheetah Rivera and Gwen Verdon one. And then I've never seen the one in Chicago. I was actually in New York in October and walked outside the theater and I was like, you know what? No. I was like, I don't, you know, and honestly, I was like, it's, you know, we're a different theater in a different space. And the thing that I actually love, even with that, is I think we had a ton of people audition for the show, but we had so many folks, I think, who were scared by the notion because of what they see visually for the show, which is, like I said, like, you know, seven women who are all 6 feet tall and stick thin and, you know, wearing the same body stockings. And we have so many different body types and curves and chests.
And I
love that.
Like, I was so happy to see that, number one, there were so many body types on stage and that there were so many age ranges on stage.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you've got a 20-year-old dancing next to
a 60-year-old.
That was great to me. I'm like, thank you for like representing the community that you're creating this in. That's awesome.
And that's how vaudeville was. I mean, you know, you had everybody all different age ranges and body types and
put them in the costume and they all go kick. That's happens. Yeah. So what was it like to propose this to Four County? Because Four County is pretty much known for, you know, family friendly. And this is a musical about murder.
and sex.
And there's like, I mean, there's a lesbian in the play. Like, so what, how did you propose this to Four County where they said, oh, yeah, let's do that again?
I mean, you know, our thing is we want to try to, you know, continually think about what do our audiences want? What do our actors want? We do a yearly, you know, survey from both sort of parties to see sort of what are things that folks want to see? What are things designers want to work on? What are things directors want to direct? And this is one of those shows that has come up just time and time again, year after year. People are like, Chicago, somebody do Chicago. So luckily, it was a pretty easy conversation. And the interesting thing is the last time the theater did this show in 1982, directed by Fran Smith, who we all know and love, who's still around in the area, it was part of a program called TREE, which was theater-related theater-related employment experience. So it was a program that took at-risk youth in the area and taught them theater skills that they could apply to their jobs. And it was a state-funded program, and it was the last production they put on. So it actually was done with a pretty like college teen cast and was entirely African-American, directed by Fran. So I think, you know, to have that history with the show, to be able to bring it back, was really exciting for the theater as well. And we've done some stuff, and we did, you know, I think you probably, Liz was in Trailer Park Musical on the main stage, and that had, you know, all kinds of choice words and things like that.
All right, Liz.
So we tip our toe into the more risque ones.
And with that, we got to go over to Liz because she ain't getting away this easy. No. You haven't been talking too much. She's been cowering away in the corner.
She's been hiding.
I see you shine away, girl. I see you shine away. So this is a show that's very physically demanding. It's got a lot of choreography, a lot of like vocal range. Did you see yourself like, you know, just kind of like hitting up the gym, you know, like just getting swole, you know, for the show? Like, what kind of preparation did you do to get into this role?
That is actually a great question.
And maybe you can, with that, maybe you can explain like methods that you and the cast did in order to connect and, you know, create more of an ensemble feel. If any, what were the physical?
David, you have to let her answer the question.
Can I finish the question that I'm asking?
This is a question.
My God.
Parts.
Part six.
How was it for you, Liz?
It was great getting into this character. You know, it took a lot more kind of inward thinking and inward evaluation of who she was and her relationship with her women in her prison, and Velma and Roxy. And it was helpful to chit-chat with the actors who play Velma and Roxy, their take on the character, my take on the character, and to kind of develop that relationship through the rehearsal process. But also, you know, right before each show, everyone just does physical warm-ups, and we've all just kind of grown into this family where it's like, oh, it's like family dinner time. Dinner time, everyone come on up, and let's do our physical warm-ups, which, I am not a fit person. But this show...
Who are you telling? I'm over here with this. Please.
It keeps me active. definitely one of the pros of this show. It keeps me active, which is nice.
So, moms, I mean, the character you play has been played by some really, really awesome people. Most recently, Queen Latifah.
And Liz Howard.
I've met her. Oh my God, Liz Howard.
So how did you, I mean, was there any trepidation in like, okay, I have something to measure up to.
Well, it was helpful that I've never actually seen any of them do it.
Okay.
And that was part of the restraint that I had, because I really want to see the movie, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I saw Chicago when I was in, like, middle school, high
right.
school, so I don't really remember who was playing it at the time.
Okay.
And so it was, I needed to start from scratch, you know. I couldn't think about, oh, Queen Latifah played this part? Okay, well, how would she would do it? No, this is now my role. How would Liz play Mama?
Right.
And I think that helped me create her character, and there was no, oh my gosh, am I going to live up to this? Because I didn't even think about it.
Good.
Yeah.
No, that's great. That's, yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do
yeah.
when you're playing parts like this.
First
that are
like watching the video second by second. Right.
Okay,
and my hand's going to go up here.
And she lifts her leg.
Okay. Latifah does this. Wait, they cut class?
What? Oh, that makes me mad.
I can't see that.
What am I supposed to do?
No, but there are actors out there who do that. I mean, yeah. that say,
and I'm not downing on it. It's just I just can't do it. That's not how that's
yeah.
not my process.
It's inauthentic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
then you're,
because I'm an impersonator.
Yeah.
So
I was gonna say you're
on
yeah.
the traits
yeah.
of people around.
Yeah,
me,
you're not a portrayer.
Right.
You're an actor.
Queen Latifah. Right. Chicago.
why is Liz Howard singing You There's, in ITY right
yeah.
now?
I don't
remember that song.
I didn't think that was in the
She got the
show,
she but... got the chain with the key on it too.
Wait a minute. There, why did
it's
she braid her hair?
It's Superfly.
I love it.
Superfly.
Okay, so unfortunately for people who already don't have tickets, the show is sold out for the rest of the run. Oh my God. So, but you can still get on a waiting list, right? Like if somebody, God forbid, gets sick and can't show up.
Yeah, totally. And we really encourage people to take advantage of that. And even honestly, I mean, if you're willing to make the drive to Barbersville, you know, it's worth it. I mean,
he says make the drive to Barbersville like it's 6 hours or
no,
something. It's literally
no, but
20
we
minutes.
We also know, like, I mean, like, you know, sometimes easy if you're downtown, you're like, okay, I'll go, like, stick my head in at Live Arts. And if I can't get in, then I'll go get dinner and that sort of thing. If you drive to, you know, to us, you know,
right.
you're sort of making the decision to do so. You can still go get barbecue or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this time of year, there are people that are sick. You know, the babysitter cancels. I mean, we are sold out, but we usually can squeeze you in.
Yeah.
Just because
mm-hmm.
something happens. And mm-hmm. somebody buys 8 tickets and they end up using 6 because their friends bailed mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So
we only have a minute left, but
sure.
I want to talk about one thing which
yes.
struck me as very cool that you did was that you put the band in the center of the stage.
Yes.
And that was so cool for the curtain to open and me see the entire band sitting there. I'm like, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
'Cause one, you know, I've played in that space. I know sound is always an issue.
Sure.
And two, I think that's probably a really great thing for the performers to have the music so close to them.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to make that decision?
Honestly, it was the vaudeville concept that drove it, because that was so much a part of
yeah.
the vaudeville, was having the, you know, ragtime band there on stage
yeah.
playing, especially between numbers. So that, and also so much of the show is musical. We don't have any recorded sound effects. The gunshots,
yeah.
everything is from the band, from slide whistles to drum punches to everything.
Cool.
So Kristen Baltus, who's the mastermind behind the music on the
show.
Who
is awesome.
I mean, she literally, the show is in her hands. She conducts it. I mean, she's
yeah.
on there making sure all those sounds happen, that things, you know, she follows everybody so beautifully. And it's even been fun to watch them the more and more they've gotten comfortable with the show. Because the music's insane.
Yeah.
To watch them become more and more part of the show, to watch the band's reactions to things that are happening,
oh,
and
yeah.
their interactions with characters and things like that. And
oh,
just,
yeah, even opening night when they did the thing with the newspaper
oh, yeah,
and handing
yeah.
it off. I was
oh,
like,
you,
I was
and,
like,
then,
okay,
and then by now it's even a bigger
awesome.
Thing. So, you know, it's in their hands and they've just run with it, which is great. So it's been a really cool part. And I just, you know, they work so hard and they're such a big part of the show. I hate to have them, like, sequestered off in a
right?
dark corner somewhere. It's
yeah.
like, you know,
and
you guys
especially,
are playing the hell out of it. Be
well,
there,
I mean, especially
you know?
With Chicago. I mean, the music is so integral. I mean,
yeah.
it's not like some traditional musicals where it's like, oh, I'm going to sing now. Cue music. No, that's right. not it. It's woven into it. Yeah. So, and I do have to tell you, Mr. Cellophane.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Rip your heart out.
That was, seriously, that's the best Mr. Cellophane I've ever seen.
That's awesome. He will appreciate that.
That was the peak of the show for me. I was like, oh my God, he did that so perfect.
He's so good. And he was our so he was our Shrek, so he's been like our lovable, yeah. like, yeah. lovable, like, sad. Ken Wayne. There you go.
But he did an amazing job. And awesome. Yeah, and I told him afterwards, I was like, that was perfection. That was really awesome. Good.
Yay.
So you're running through the 26th. So
yes.
if people want to get tickets, they need to
call
Ro.
You need to slash your friend's tires.
There you go.
And
yeah, be hanging out in the parking lot at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a second?
Last man standing.
That's very Chicago.
That's very Chicago.
Battle Royale.
People are dying to get in here.
I got tickets. I got tickets. If you want tickets, come over here.
There's a man in a trench coat outside.
So what's the number to the box office in case they want to get on the waiting list?
You can call us at 540-832-5355.
Yay! Yeah, talk to Ro. She's awesome, and she'll get you in there if she can.
That's right.
How much time do we have left, Glenn? Okay, we need to
wrap it up.
That's cool.
Okay.
Liz has a matinee, so we have got to go.
Liz has a matinee. We
gotta
don't
go.
Want to be late for that.
Exactly.
Thank
well,
you guys
grab a
so
nap,
much.
Do whatever you got to do. Yeah, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. I think we're going to do a little drop and go to commercial. Clinton, you ready?
Ready.
Drop! It is 23 minutes past the hour, and if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, your show about local art. It's your show. Take ownership. Listen up. we have a special surprise guest.
Yes.
We didn't think, we thought we were going to have a two-guest show. Nope, egg on my face. We have a three-person show.
That's right.
But it's okay because this guy is awesome. His name is Greg Brown. He is an amazing guitarist and an amazing musician. He's got a new album out, and he's going to talk about it. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good morning, everybody.
So good morning.
It's a blues album, right?
This is a blues album.
Oh, my God. This is so up my alley.
Very different than my typical alley. I mean, I grew up playing blues and blues rock.
Uh-huh.
And over the years, I've kind of amassed a bunch of different tunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably like the last year and a half, I got involved in the Central Virginia was a blues society.
Okay.
And those guys are great, very encouraging. And actually, I have a couple of the members on the discs. You know,
oh,
I got
that's
to play
awesome.
With other people, which is different than some of my classical projects.
Collaboration.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, yeah, I just had a really great time, and I just wanted to kind of share it with the world.
Awesome. The album's called Just Tell Me Why, mm-hmm. and usually, recently, you've been known for a lot of the classical stuff that you've been doing, a lot of classical, a lot of flamenco stuff, nylon guitar, I assume?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my God, those things are horrible to string. I just admire you for that alone.
And feel for you when one of those strings breaks.
Right. Well, come see me. I'll help you out.
So Just Tell Me Why, you decided to go back to your roots and get back into that blues thing.
Yeah.
Is it just something that you missed, or is...
Yeah, it was. It's just always been a part of what I do and what I write. I don't know. I tell people too, like, what got me into like Spanish or flamenco music, and mm-hmm. I'm like, it's just the blues of Spain, you know. It's just
yeah, it really is,
you know. And so it just kind of made sense. That's what I grew up listening to. A lot of blues rock. I was really sad to hear about the passing of Chuck Berry.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
I was so upset about that.
Yeah.
So when you actually go through his discography, you just see all the stuff that he created.
Seriously, I heard that and I'm like, I want to watch All Hail Rock and Roll now.
Yeah, yeah, great movie.
So talk about, because I don't think a lot of people make the connection between blues and flamenco. Sure. So talk about how you made that connection and what you hear as the similarities between them.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of it was just the downtrodden people of the classes of the time, just as America, as what we would consider gypsies of Spain at the time. So there's a lot of different, you know, melting pots, a lot of fusion going on, but they were definitely, you know, kind of the social outcasts. And it kind of came, the music kind of came out of, you know, just like the American blues.
And that's interesting because, like, when I particularly listen to flamenco, I don't really hear blueness. I don't hear depression. I hear more of a somber type of introspection within the music, but there is a certain like kind of feeling of, you know, we're going to get out of this. Right. Like, you know, blues more, it feels like it's more like written in, like, I don't want to say wallowing in self-pity.
But it kind of is.
Whereas flamenco I see is a little bit more, there's a little bit more resilience in there, and there's a little bit more willingness to rise from that downtroddenness.
Sure, I get that.
And that's just particularly what I think. How do you feel about
that? Yeah, it's interesting. I had a buddy years ago turn me on to a guy who just moved here from Africa, and he was from Mali, spent some time, and we were kind of hanging out, and we were just kind of jamming, and it just kind of worked, and like the pentatonic blues scales kind of worked over what he was doing.
That's crazy.
Even though it was like a 7-tone scale,
right,
as opposed to our 8-tone scale, it worked. Some of the techniques that he used on his gone, which is like the indigenous Malian instrument,
right,
where they do like the tapping with the nails on the guitar.
Yeah.
He was doing that. So there's a lot of things that happened, you know, with the cultures in Spain. So rhythmically, I get it, but when you hear like a solo, like acapella flamenco singer, I don't know, I feel the feel the pain that you would feel in the early early blues.
Yes.
Well, I took a dance class a few months ago with a dance teacher who studied tango, and he not only was he teaching the dance, but he was teaching the history of how tango came about, mm-hmm. and just the stories he had about how the different styles of tango came about, how the music changed because the people creating the music, like immigrants, came into the area, and and then there was a depression, so nobody had any money to go to the clubs and dance. So in order to get into the club, you had to show that you knew how to treat a woman. And in order to do that, you had to dance with the bouncer before you got in. You know, like stuff like that, that changed how
I'm in the wrong business
dance went. So it changed how the music went.
Sure.
So is there a change that is, are there changes like that happened in flamenco, in classical flamenco too?
Well, huge. I think one of the big ones was you'd have the gypsies of the day that were doing, you know, and nobody can really exactly, musicologists have been trying to figure out the exact origins of flamenco because you had so many people that were there, you know, from the Moors to like the Celtic people. And it was funny when I was in Spain years ago in Granada, the one city, I was sitting there and I was over a friend's house, and she had like a pipa over her couch with like the Chinese guitar. And I was like, what's up with that? And she's like, well, Granada used to be the end of the Silk Road. And you're going like, wow. I mean, there's so many cultures that meshed in the Southern, and it all kind of came out to me in this music.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of like the Mississippi Delta, where you have like the French and you had people that were coming from all over the place that kind of meshed and had to work it out, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it really reflects in the music.
Well, let's listen to a track, shall
we? Please, that sounds great. We'll be right back.
All right, it's 33 minutes past the hour, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
And you're just listening to a track off the brand new blues CD by our new friend Greg.
Right, great, thank you.
Blues on the Bayou. That was awesome, man.
Thank you.
It's a nice horn in that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a buddy of mine, Aaron Spring, on sax, and then a friend Brian McKenzie on, or Mac, on bass.
So, ooh, nice. Cool. Yeah, that's a cool bass line.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing I love about blues is they don't forget about the bassist.
Yeah, got to groove.
You've got to have that bassist. Like, oh, my God. And I have a little thing for bass players, nice. I must admit.
Okay. I know a few.
We'll talk later.
Sure.
Anyway.
It's not about you, Leslie. It's about the guest. So... So you got a couple of things coming up. You're doing this thing at Wegmans. Why don't you tell all the people?
Sure. Sure. Last month, actually, I got turned on to playing the wine shop at Wegmans. So I'm kind of there every other weekend. Fridays usually 6 to 8, Sundays 12 to 2. So I'll be over there in a little bit.
Okay. Cool.
Doing mostly classical stuff. Mm-hmm. Actually, I played a lot of like Celtic music Friday night for St. Patrick's Day, which was cool. Which
awesome.
Was
really fun. Fitting.
Yeah. It was great.
I found out like a year and a half ago that I'm 7% Irish.
Well. I believe it.
I got to enjoy.
I'm surprised
St.
it's only 7%
more. After I found that out, I was like,
7% more.
Yes, Clinton, 7% more.
It's official. You're officially Irish.
I am officially Irish. It's kind of, you know. I was always wondering where
I
the freckles came
so
from.
I can make so many dirty jokes right now, but I'm not going to do.
There are no jokes that I haven't already thought of, David. Trust me.
No, I just imagine that one, like, regular customer at Wegmans that always catches your show, and she gets, like, a little bit too toasty on wine.
Right?
Like, yeah! Play it again, Greg!
It hasn't happened yet, but we know. Things not over.
Faithful fans, they shouldn't be diminished. But also, you're talking about all of your extensive trips, like, around the world, playing with all of these wonderful people, and you're going to Maui, and you're playing with some people in Maui. Yeah,
yeah, that's super cool.
Okay.
I just found out that last month. It's part of a master class concert series that they do about 10 days in July. So
okay.
I'm playing with Ben Verdery, teaches at Yale, and then Martha Masters, who's the head of the Guitar Foundation of America. So,
okay.
So
wow.
We kind of learn a little bit, play a little bit, and then all the players they put together a guitar orchestra.
Like, so I'm sure they know a few things about the instrument and how it works.
Amazing. A guitar orchestra?
Yeah, so we'll be 12, 15 guitarists.
That is awesome.
Yeah, very excited.
Please tell me there's going to be a recording of that.
I do hope so. I would think so.
That's right. Awesome. So, well, Greg, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you for having us, man. That's seriously. So when's the CD out?
Should be available for pre-order soon. I think April 21st is the official release date. So just coming up.
Awesome. Month.
But we got it right now on Homegrown.
That's
so if you want to listen to it again, you got to listen to the podcast.
That's right.
The CD's called Just Tell Me Why, and this is Greg Brown. Greg,
cool.
Greg, thank you,
you
so
much.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Guys.
All right. Cool. So
wow, I'm liking the whole blues thing.
Yeah.
This morning.
Blues
that
is
was
life.
Good, right?
Blues is life.
Yeah.
Blues is life. We doing announcements?
Yeah.
All right. Screw it. We'll do announcements. blah, blah, blah. Music.
Blah, blah, blah.
There's stuff going on.
What are you doing?
There's stuff going on.
Is there?
In the world. Yes.
You're messing with your papers.
No, I am messing with my papers.
Yeah, you're
because
messing
we
with your
have
papers.
That one announcement that I always like to do.
That you
but
always
it doesn't
like
seem
to
be on the page. There it is.
There it
oh.
is. It's
oh,
right
my
there
God.
In front of you, David.
Oh, my God.
Oh, your God.
And do you know who brings us this wonderful show where me and Leslie can argue at each other? Blue Moon Diner.
I don't
breakfast all day. Every day. With brunch on Saturdays and Sundays. And carefully... Oh, so carefully constructed diner food on weekdays, afternoons, and evenings. And speaking of evenings,
yes,
Blue Moon
playing this week at Blue Moon.
They are nice enough to provide a venue for local and visiting artists, such as on Wednesday, Jim Wave, on Thursday, Jamie Dyer and Friends, on Friday, Deborah Guy, and that's all popping at Blue Moon Diner at 512 West Main Street. Blue Moon Diner, it's a place. Our next guest is a wonderful professional academic looking man, but he is a director. He is the managing director of the Phoenix Theater Works here in Charlottesville. His name is Kyle Christopher. Kyle, so nice for you to join us.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
In our meager studio. So tell me a little bit about Phoenix Theater Works. Like, I'm from Charlottesville. I've been doing theater for about 10 plus years, not counting the 5 years I was in New York, blah, blah, blah. But Never heard about Phoenix Theater Works. You're fairly new, yes?
Yes, brand new.
All right. When'd you start? And why Seaville?
Phoenix Theater Works started really in January of this year.
Okay.
As an idea. I came from Houston, Texas.
Okay. H-Town in the house?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been here about a year. And in Houston, I used to run theater companies. That's what I enjoyed doing. Mm-hmm. I started two theater companies in Houston, and ended up making the move to Charlottesville. Loved it here. Loved the arts community. Loved all the music and theater that existed here already. And because I have more passion than sense, I decided to start another theater company.
I think that describes a lot of us. There,
yeah,
Kyle.
Yeah. So it was a part of my life that I wanted to continue. And that's kind of the side that I've been on. I've done a little bit of everything in theater, from on stage to technical work to everything you can think of. But the part that I seem to do well at is kind of running things and making sure all the moving pieces are in the right places at the right time.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. That sounds great. And I guess this is the very first show that Phoenix Theater Works is putting on?
We are working on our very first show right now. We had auditions a couple weeks ago.
I saw that.
Put together a great cast.
I was intrigued.
And we actually start rehearsals tomorrow night.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the show is called Title of Show.
Yes.
And I think the title kind of explains it all.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't need to go any further into it.
No.
So I'm just not gonna.
Right.
David.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. This is an art show. Please tell us a little bit about Title of Show.
Title of Show. The way it is described often is a musical about two guys writing a musical about two guys writing a musical.
It's very meta.
Yes. Yes.
Seinfeld, the musical.
Yes. Basically, the story of Title of Show is two guys in New York. Back in, I want to say 2008, it was on Broadway in 2009, so I think it started in about 2007, 2008. They discovered that there was a music theater festival coming up in 3 weeks, and they decided they wanted to submit something, but they had nothing written so far. So, over the next 3 weeks, they wrote a musical about them writing a musical. So it's kind of the story of the show's own creation.
Right. Dedicated to all the procrastinators.
Yes.
Of theater.
All of us artists. Yes. So I actually know someone who was in the Broadway production of Title of Show. So I know a little bit about it. But this is a different type of musical, because the numbers in this show are not polished. They are not, they're not what one expects when you go to see a musical, right?
Right, right. It's great. It's a show about the creative process, which really makes it fun to watch. It's a show that appeals to a lot of actors and a lot of people in theater, because it has a lot to do with not letting self-doubt get you down, with with the feelings and doubts that we all have as actors, that, you know, can I do this? And the show really touches on that a lot, about not letting anything get in the way of that process.
Right. So what made you decide to do this one? I mean, as your first show out in Charlottesville.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to add to that too, because that's really ballsy for you to do. That's very risky. I mean, why wouldn't you do something like Phantom, you know, that, you know, is like a definite, like, sure pick to get booties in the seats? Like, why pick such an obscure show? And I mean, the way you describe it, you already sold me, because I am like presently a playwright that is going through crippling self-doubt and does not want to put whatever I'm writing, because I just don't trust it, and I don't think it's any good. So you already sold me. So why this show?
Phoenix Theater Works, what I want to do with this company is kind of focus on the intimate, small type of musical theater.
Nice.
I want to get back to kind of the off-Broadway feel. A lot of off-Broadway theaters are small, and, mm-hmm. and you're right there with the audience. I mean, you're right there with the actors as a part of the audience. And that's really what I want to do. I've often described Phoenix Theater Works as producing small scale musicals in an intimate venue. This show is perfect for that because it's literally four actors and a keyboard, and that's it. And that's all you can do with this show, because in one of the final numbers, they actually say, we're going to be fine with just a keyboard. We're just four chairs and a keyboard.
Right.
So, that's really what it's about, is it's about a small scale production, but something where you can get really intimate and really close to the audience. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I'm going for the feel of this theater company in general.
Right on.
So we've been doing theater in Charlottesville for a long time. What has been the biggest challenge as someone coming into Charlottesville and trying to start up a company? I mean, I would think one of your first major obstacles was space.
Yes. Yes. Really, we started with trying to find rehearsal space, trying to find performance space, trying to find a cast. I mean, when I started, it was literally just an idea in January that this is something I want to do. So it started with finding a director, finding a music director, putting together the whole team over the last couple of months. And we've done that. We put together a great team. But yeah, that was the biggest challenge to start with, was definitely putting the company together and taking it from an idea to a reality.
So who's on the team?
Well, Frank Saxon is directing. Selena Cox is our music director. We have Gabby Lucia as stage manager.
Mm-hmm.
Azriel Black as assistant stage manager.
I love it.
Yeah. And Alana Mahan as a choreographer and movement director.
Oh, great. Yeah.
That's the team itself.
That's a great team. And who's in the cast?
The cast is Jonathan Carnes and Arthur Sigmund as Jeff and Hunter, the two leads. And then Juliana Cicado, mm-hmm, and Marissa Jean as Heidi and Susan, their friends.
Okay, so you got some really good Charlottesville voices.
Yes.
In this cast. Because Jonathan has been doing stuff. I mean, he did Pirates of Penzance at Heritage last year.
Right.
Like, he's got a voice, mm-hmm, that doesn't stop. That's really great. It sounds like you've got a really, really strong cast. And this show is heavy on music. There's a lot of difficult harmonies in it,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's one of the things that when I had spoken with Selena Cox, our music director, that's one of the things that she commented on the very first time, is there are a lot of tight harmonies in this show. The music is much more complex than it seems.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's deceptively complex.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So talk about the process of that. You started the company in January.
Right.
The show's going to go up in April.
May. Right.
That's still very short time to create a company.
Yes.
And a show. Talk about that and the quickness of the process, and if it's exciting for you, if it's, you know, well, do you like to work that way? Is it, you know?
Well, I'm sure part of the difficulty is you just moved here.
Right. Right. I've been here about a year. Yeah, it's tough coming into a new city and not necessarily having the contacts.
Right.
You know, just starting to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And really getting everything up and going. I do like to work that way. I tend to be very passionate about things. Tend to kind of go without thinking a lot of times. And
sometimes that's the best way.
And it is. It's one of those things where, you
because
know,
if you think about it too hard, then you're like, oh, well, what if this doesn't happen? Or,
yeah, you'll talk yourself out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's always reasons not to do something. You know, there's always reasons you can think of not to do something. And I mean, what I've found is, especially with theater, is if you set a deadline and you say we're going to have a show in May,
all of a sudden you have to have a show.
Right.
Right.
Right. And you know,
right. Exactly.
And you know, and the funny thing about theater is it all seems to come together. You know, you go through the rehearsal process and things may seem like a mess, and you know, you may have the dress rehearsal the night before and you're like, we're not ready. And then somehow
somehow on opening night, it always...
the magic of theater.
Because at the end of the day, ain't nobody going to be embarrassed on stage. Like, I will learn all of my lines before I show up and make a fool of myself on the stage and, so, you know, in front of my cast as well.
So, because you... how long were you in Houston?
I was in Houston pretty much my entire life.
Okay, yeah. So what are the differences that you see between the Houston theater scene and the theater scene here in Charlottesville?
You know, it's interesting. Houston has a lot more theaters just because of the size of the city.
Right.
But the one thing that I notice about both the theater community and in Houston and in Charlottesville is it's just such a tight-knit community. Even in a city like Houston, it's a situation where everybody knows everybody. And you know, and that's one great thing about theater is it's really a group of people coming together. Even if you're working on separate shows at separate theaters, it's a group of like-minded people all going towards a common goal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I enjoy about theater. And it's kind of like you said that nobody's going to be embarrassed on stage. The reason that is because you've got such a great team around you.
Yeah.
You know, you've got people around you that are looking to support you and looking to accomplish the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy theater because of the collaborative art and the trust that you place into everybody and the common goal that everybody sees in order to succeed. So, yeah.
So how many do you have a plan? Like how many shows are you going to do a year?
Well, we're starting out, I'm looking to do two.
Okay.
That's what I'd really like to do is two shows a year.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get up and running and we have things more solidified, then maybe three. But no more than that. I worked for a theater company in Houston that liked to be rehearsing their next show before they'd even stopped rehearsing the show before it.
Yeah, yeah.
And to me, it's too hard to really put everything you've got into that show that you're doing.
Right.
So really, I wanna complete a show that we've done, see it all the way through, and then start thinking about the next one.
Okay. And so is it all going to be musical theater, or are you going to put some comedies and some dramas in there?
You know, I don't want to limit myself. So I usually say small scale productions. I don't typically qualify it. Musical theater is definitely where my heart is though. And I think musical theater in a small space is very interesting.
So what is it about musical theater that attracts you so much?
I think with musical theater, it's not so much the musical theater itself. It's really the musical theater in a space like this, because I don't think you get that very often.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you'll see plays, you'll see comedies and dramas in a small black box space, but you don't get that with musicals very often.
Right.
And I think that's what makes things interesting. I like taking musical theater and then stripping it down and really making it an intimate experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
That's an interesting idea.
Well, I think it is because we have a tendency to overblow the musical theater
events. And musicals have always been spectacle. It's all been about spectacle.
Right. Yeah, I mean, extravaganza.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's one big spectacle.
Yeah.
There's not even a
cabaret.
Story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But so, yeah, and I think that there's something to be said about narrowing that down and making it more intimate and more personal for the people around. Do you notice a complete total tonal difference in the not only the show itself, but the way the audience ingests the show and interprets it?
Yes, I think there's a much much stronger connection with the audience. I think going to see a large scale musical, the spectacle, I think it can almost be like you're watching a movie. Like it's just something that's happening
you're
in front of you.
You're detached from it. Yeah.
Right. Getting it into a small black box space, I think it really just increases the connection between the actors, between the music and the audience. It really pulls them in.
So do you think you would consider doing some sort of like cabaret performances where, you know, groups of people get together and come up with a group of songs to perform in that kind of setting?
Absolutely. I would love to do cabaret shows.
Ooh.
I think cabaret shows are fantastic for showing off the talent that a city has in its community.
Ooh, hey, David.
Yes.
Hey, David.
Yes.
You want to sing with me?
What? 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 No, what?
You want to sing with me?
What are we singing?
I don't know. What do you want to sing?
We don't...
We're going to do a cabaret show for Kyle. What do you want to sing?
Oh, stop it.
You know, you complain when I'm mean to you. You complain when I'm nice to
you. You bring up a song with no... We ain't rehearse. It... We ain't discuss the song. We ain't do nothing. You're going to make
asking.
Me look stupid in front
this
of my...
This is us discussing
Lord
the song.
Lord have mercy.
Please. See, there is no pleasing you.
No.
No pleasing you.
You're on some other planet.
Like, that's different from another.
Are you still on the cleanse? You're still on the cleanse.
Stop mocking me trying to be healthy.
This is what we do.
Sure.
This is what we do. Yeah. It's okay because you're going to be back here multiple times, like plugging every single show that
oh, yeah.
you do
right,
in the
right,
future.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. So you said like you have no idea about the next show. You're just solely focused on this one.
I have ideas of shows that I would like to do.
Okay.
Definitely not starting the process just yet.
Right on.
But there are some shows. Next to Normal is a show that I would love to do.
Okay.
One thing I'm interested in is taking larger musicals and kind of bringing them down to this more intimate space.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I'd love to do that I've always thought would really benefit from an intimate space is a chorus line. I thought a chorus line in a small...
Because it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's supposed to be the rehearsal space.
Right.
It's not supposed to be this huge proscenium theater.
Exactly. So I've got ideas about things that I want to do, but nothing I'm moving ahead with just yet.
Right on.
Yeah.
Nice. So title of show goes up when?
May 12th through May 28th.
May 12th through May 28th, and that's weekend. And that's the usual showing.
Right.
And it's going on at Ix?
No, it was going to go on at Ix, but that did not work out.
Yeah, because I know the auditions were at Ix, yes?
The auditions were at Ix.
Yes.
It's actually exciting. The company DMR Adventures is building out a new black box space.
Yeah, Melissa Charles, I love
her. Yeah, Melissa Charles is they're building out a new black box space, and they're looking to start something called the Belmont Arts Collaborative, where
cool.
a bunch of different theater companies kind of work together.
Cool.
So it's at 221 Carlton Road.
Cool.
So that's actually
in the Belmont area.
Yeah,
you know they
got
money.
Yeah, Melissa, why didn't you tell me about this, and why haven't you been on the show to talk about it? I'm a little upset with you right now.
Perhaps I was not supposed to say anything.
No, shots fired.
It's okay. She's sitting here listening to the show going, oh, I should have. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I got you. We're going to do.
All right. So, Kyle Christopher here for the Phoenix Theater Works. And dude,
thank you, Kyle, for coming on this
show. Absolutely. Thank
seriously,
you so much for having
seriously?
Me.
Seriously? Inspiring, and I really hope to work with you in the near future.
Great, absolutely.
So,
thank you so much.
I really like everything that you said. So
thanks, I appreciate
hopefully,
that.
Yeah, that can happen. Cool. Thank
all
you
right.
so much for
thank
coming
you.
On to
thanks
the show.
For having me.
Yes. All right. So we are back. Leslie,
we're gonna do the list. We're gonna do the list.
Oh my God.
You do the first half.
Oh my God. So here's what's going on this week in Seaville. Now through the April 9th is the Renaissance season at the American Shakespeare Center. Features The Merchant of Venice and Coriolanus by Shakespeare and Sheridan School for Scandal and Emma Whipday Shakespeare's Sister, all playing at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Also through March 23rd is Memory and Cultural Beliefs by Cuban artist Jose Badia at the Second Street Gallery. Also through March 26th, it's Chicago, but you can't see it because it's sold out at Fort County. This afternoon is Travel Photography Made Easy class with photographer Christian DeBon at Peace Frogs. I love those shirts. This afternoon, Schumann Ghost House by Victory Hall Opera, an interactive recital featuring Will Ferguson, Brenda Patterson, and pianist Renata Roffling. March 21st is Babes in Artland. If you're a new caregiver with an infant 18 months or younger, attend this program at UVA's Fralin Museum of Art that offers lively conversations about art in a baby-friendly atmosphere. Sling your baby, get out the house, put that thing in a Bjorn, and get some art at the Fralin. March 21st through June 30th, we got Dallas photographer Janine Misha Bales and her exhibit, Through Darkness to Light. Photographs along the Underground Railroad at Jefferson School African American Heritage Center.
Yeah, seriously, we need to go
so
to
you
that.
Gotta catch that. March 22nd through the 26th is the Festival of the Book, Virginia Festival of the Book. March 22nd is Introductory Clogging Class at the Dance Spot. That's right, Introductory Clogging Class. Get your clog on at the dance spot. March 23rd, Writing the Seductive First Sentence, a writer seminar at the Charlottesville Writer House, instructed by Lori Stone. March 23rd is UVA MFA Reading Series continues at Millie Joe Coffee and Gelato with Sean Sear and Robin Sarkin reading from their work. And we're switching over to music. And now for your music events this week. Leslie?
Yes, this afternoon, Katie Ambrose, principal horn of the Charlottesville Symphony and faculty member of the UVA McIntyre Department of Music, performs a concert at Old Cabell Hall. This afternoon, spring variety show by the Waynesboro High School Concert Choir at Waynesboro High School. This afternoon, Crozet Community Orchestra at Crozet Baptist Church. Will Walter, Tucker Rogers, and Gary Green at the Glasshouse Winery. March 21st, Nick and Steve Pollock at Dirty Nellie's, Travis Elliott at Fellini's. March 22nd, Rocking Horse Troubadours making their debut at Dirty Nellie's. Also March 22nd, open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Original music encouraged. A big old hip-hop show hosted by Mitch Wise with Sons of Ikebull. Equally opposite, Rail, Grayling Sky, and DJ Ryan Clark. That is going to be so awesome. The CMS Equinox Jam, a jam session featuring Butch Taylor, Parachutes, Johnny Stubblefield, Tucker Rogers, Love Cannons, Daryl Mueller, and others at Rapture. March 23rd, Coda and Marie from Camille and Whiskey perform at Dirty Nellie's. Together Soul at Cafe Coutura. Dear Squad. Hey, you're interrupting the music.
We're taking this out. Oh, my God. We'd like to thank our guests, Edward Work-White and Liz Howard, Greg Brown and Kyle Christopher. Coming up next is a Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. Their guest is Sean Tibbs from Charlottesville Tomorrow. Thank you. This is Homegrown. Love you guys. See you next week.
It's been lovely.
Peace.
See you next week.
In the field, been to plenty of real bigots, burn bridges and meal tickets. I ain't gotta be specific, you feel me if you live it. And if you live it, you don't finish it, not a gimmick. The pinnacle steady, sending pretenders to the clinic. I pick them out, spot the beast, hit it with the right crossbow, and eyes glowing like a Riddick. Politically speaking, institutions, all classes, races. That's why I'm on my cash, is clean. It's for basket cases. Took advantage of the agitation to get you caught up in the distraction matrix. It ain't happening. Is it my rapid?
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.